Genesis chapter 11, we're going to be studying verses 8 and 9, but I'm going to read it from verse 1 through. Genesis chapter 11, beginning in the first verse. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved from the east, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time in your word this morning. We just pray that you direct our hearts and minds in this time, that we would hear the truths that you have for us, the message that you want us to take from this place, and that, Father, we would celebrate who you are in our lives and all that you do for us. We just trust you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever wondered what life would be like here if there were some catastrophic event that wiped out all communication, all power, and the infrastructure in our nation? Ever wondered what that would be like? You know, I know we've all, many of us have watched those movies or those shows where people had to start all over to survive and to defend themselves from others. You know, we can only imagine what that would be like. Even though there are some who are already preparing for such an event, you know, the preppers, we all hear about the preppers. You know, sometimes you got to wonder, are the preppers so far off base? You know, how many years of food do the Mormons, each Mormon family is required for them to have now?
Two.
2 years. Used to only be one. Now it's 2 years. Okay. So what would you do if something like that ever happened? What would you do if all the power went out, all the communications went down, and in the infrastructure just kind of all of a sudden fell apart? There were no stoplights, no police, no... I mean, what would you do?
Pray a lot.
Pray a lot? Find somebody with a big freezer and go stay with them for a while? Yeah. Hoping that they're preppers and they have generators and gasoline and... Yeah. You know, God in judgment upon mankind for their disobedience comes down and confuses all the language of the people at Babel. Now only the family groups could understand each other. And the result of this was that they had to spread out over the earth. Now, we can only imagine what it must have been like for them at that time, when they couldn't even communicate with people they used to talk to. But we can deduce from chapter 10 that each family group was able to communicate within that family group. In chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "From these the maritime peoples spread out into their territories, by their clans, within their nations, each with its own language." And then in chapter 10, verse 20, it talks about the descendants of Ham. "These are the sons of Ham, by their clans and languages, and their territories, and their nations." And then in chapter 10, verse 31, Shem's descendants. These are the sons of Shem by their clan, clans and languages in their territories and nations. So all of the different family groups could speak to one another. They had similar languages and they could communicate with one another. But can you imagine what a mass confusion it must have been for the people on the day this happened? Now, do you think God did this in the middle of the night so people just got up and all of a sudden couldn't understand their neighbors? No, because then people would be like, wow, what happened? But if God did it right in the middle of the day, right in the middle of all the busiest activities that were going on, wouldn't that have had a greater impact on those people? You can imagine that as people are standing around, all of a sudden, people around them are speaking nonsense to them. You know, it's funny if you think about it. They wanted to make a name for themselves, but now they couldn't even pronounce their neighbors' names. You know, in fact, it must have seemed like some of them were making fun of others when this first happened. You know, do you ever have your kids, when they were growing up, mock their brothers or sisters by saying everything that they are saying? And how frustrated the kids get when they do that? Could you imagine an entire city of that? Those people who were in charge of the building project would have become so irritated at the workers because the workers weren't doing what they were told. And then the workers would have been frustrated at their bosses because they couldn't figure out, why are you yelling at me? I don't understand what you're saying. Some of them may even thought, you're just picking on me. You're just making fun of me. I'm tired of this stuff. You know, you can just imagine some of these things going on. And then in Nimrod's home, you can imagine that the servants that were there weren't doing what Nimrod was telling them to do. In fact, it may have seemed like he was talking down to them, treating them like imbeciles. Have you ever noticed, or maybe you haven't, maybe you need to, when you talk to people with disabilities, you tend to talk louder? Or with people who speak a foreign language, you tend to talk louder. You know, sometimes that's insulting to those people. You know, you can imagine the frustration level that was there in the city that day until finally the people just threw up their hands and said, I'm done. I'm out of here. I quit. I'm walking away. But who could they gather together with who understood them? Their own families. Their own families would have understood them. So they wanted to get with people that were like them, their own people, their family groups. And they spread out because God had disciplined them to do what they were supposed to have done in the first place. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, we have a great passage that talks about God disciplining His people. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. The writer of Hebrews says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who have disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a while while as they thought best. But God disciplined us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness, peace, and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, I'm sure this was not a fun time for these people. I'm sure they felt like, why is this happening? Why are we suffering these things? Why is this pandemic going through our country? Why are people rebelling against God? You know, why? You know, you can hear the people in the city saying, why? The wives pleading with their husbands, honey, why do we have to leave? When you think about the families that settled in the West, in our nation, early on, what were some of the characteristics or factors about those families? What was common amongst most of the families? Okay, they wanted a better life.
Religious freedom.
Okay, they wanted religious freedom, but think of the practical part of it. Did they have big families? Most of them did have big families. Why would they have big families? To help with the work, right? I mean, it sounds terrible, but it's true. They needed the help. Okay, so as these families spread out, they would have had large families with many children to help support and defend the family groups. You know, they would have wanted large numbers. And with long lifespans that they enjoyed, there would have been ample opportunity to grow these large families to help in this process of finding good land to settle on, to develop, and then to explore that land. You know, even Abraham. How many wives did Abraham have? Trick question. He had at least three. At least three wives. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. After Sarah, well, we know that he took Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, and married her and had Ishmael with her, okay? So, and Sarah was all good with that, okay? Then, after Sarah dies, in chapter 25, it says, Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimram, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan are the Asherites, why do I do this to myself? And the Lumanites. The sons of Midian were Ephath, Epher, Hanak, Abida, and Elda. All these were descendants of Keturah, his third wife. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, but while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last, died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. So, Abraham lives to 175. The people we're talking about here lived longer than that at the Tower of Babel. They would have had ample opportunity to grow huge families. The stronger families would become powerful, forcing the weaker and less ambitious ones to move further away to the more remote areas where people would leave them alone. How many of you have talked to newlyweds who are all upset about the holiday traditions of their spouse that weren't like theirs? If you've talked to newlyweds, you're like, wow, you know, this is just one of the many hurdles you are going to jump through. Your holiday traditions that you grew up with are different from their holiday traditions. So some way you have to find a way to blend these traditions and grow in them. Well, as these groups spread out, they would begin to develop their own cultures and their own ways of doing things, beginning traditions in their cultures. So each culture would begin to look a little different from the other. Another wild question for you. How long did it take to establish the United States as we know it today? Not so much as we know it today, but in territory size. How many generations would you say?
Three or four?
Yeah. I mean, we're not even 250 years old yet, right? Now, some of these people from the Tower of Babel would have lived to be 250 years old. So it would have been easy for them to spread out and settle in places in a very short time. You know, evolutionists look at this and they say, oh, it took ages and ages for this to happen. But it happened rapidly, with the world being inhabited within only a few generations. I can remember a professor we had that came here. He was fishing from Columbia University. He was a dyed-in-the-wool evolutionist. And he said to me, he says, you know, one thing we can't figure out, he says, all of a sudden, developed agriculture popped up around the world all at one time about 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. He says, you know, was that the evolution of man to just bring them to that place? You know, see, for the evolutionists, this would have been an evolution of man this 4,000 or 5,000 years ago to all of a sudden spring up and start finding gardens and farms and animal husbandry and all of that stuff all across large areas. See, for them, it would be, wow, this man must have made a big jump in their evolution. But for us, it's God's will playing out in mankind to spread out and fill the earth, represented by the basic agricultural development that's found. Because where did they bring it from? They all brought it from Babel with them, this basic understanding. So, what are some of man's basic needs?
Food.
Shelter.
Water.
Yep. Okay. So, people would have moved away from Babel and they would have to start all over again in different areas of the world. They would begin to work on those basic needs, food, water, and shelter. They would hunt, they would grow crops, and they would raise livestock. Gee, agriculture just popped up all at once around the world. Imagine that. They would have to have lived in basic shelters or even caves for shelter and for protection until building materials could be found and developed. You know, you couldn't move into a whole new area and expect to find a sawmill there. You know, that had to be developed first. You know, think of Lot and his daughters when they fled from Sodom and Gomorrah, when they fled from Sodom because God was going to destroy them. Where did they end up living? Anybody remember?
In a cave.
They ended up living in a cave. Okay? Now, I want you to think about something. If you think about people who live in San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City, Minneapolis, any of those big cities, what would they have to learn in order to survive if a major catastrophe ever happened? Yeah. What do you think that would look like at first?
Chaos.
Yeah, it would be total chaos at first. You see, as these people moved away from the larger group, the larger genetic pool at Babel, each family would have to begin to develop their own culture and their own way of doing things. They would have to gain the skills that they needed because they lived in an urban area. Some of them were brickmakers. Some of them went out and dug the tar up, while others brought the food in and sold it to them. You know, they all had different parts of this aspect of community life. Now, all of a sudden, it's, guess what? You have to figure this all out on your own. So as the cultures grew and flourished and became stronger, they would then, those who developed faster, who were more intuitive, who were more ambitious, who could get out there and start working and doing things, they could get out there and invade other areas and take them and push them away from their homes or even wipe them out. See, the strong would survive and the weak would die out. Anybody have family genetic characteristics that you can name?
Stubbornness.
Okay, stubbornness. You know, in my family, short fingers, short toes. Why? Why do you think that is?
Nationality.
Yeah, my family hailed from Russia area, Russia and Poland. Guess what? Long, cold winters. You know, so genetically, those with long, skinny fingers and long, skinny toes lost them because they froze off. You know, think of people from warm cultures, warm areas. Okay, longer fingers, longer toes, even longer noses. Do you ever notice people from the Middle East? They'll have longer, pointy noses. Okay? These characteristics would have started to develop because this gene pool that they were in is now thinned way out. Families would now have to inbreed in order to grow and survive, making the more dominant genes more evident in each group. The Scandinavians would begin to have Scandinavian genetic characteristics. The people who lived in the south would have in the middle equator areas would have different characteristics. You know, you get the idea. You know, these things would have started to happen. At this time in history, think about this, there would have been little or no genetic mutations or damage. It wasn't long after the flood. It wasn't long enough for the unprotected solar rays coming through to start these mutations and growing. They wouldn't have that much time to have done this. See, those mutations and defects would show up later where God would say, okay, that's it, no more inbreeding, no more marrying within your family. In Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 18, in verses 6 to 14, I'm just going to read you verse 6 because it really sums it all up. The Lord speaking to the people, he says, no one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord. God saw that things were getting to the point where if people were inbreeding still, there are going to be problems from this. So God puts it into a sense of relationship so that people would honor that. Don't mess with your father's wife. Though she's not your mother, don't mess with your mother, don't mess with your sister, don't mess with your son's wife. Okay, all of that he lays out in a relational form so that people go like, yeah, I get that. That's respecting our family. See, it wasn't like that before that. Before that, they intermarried within families and they inbred. But now it was to the point where this was going to be damaging, that this was going to be hurtful to the families. See, the Bible doesn't give us this breakdown of what happened after Babel, but from what science has discovered and from what we know in the Bible, it all fits together. It all fits together. Why 4,000 to 5,000 years ago, quote unquote, would all of this agricultural culture popped up all over the known world? You know, how do you explain that? You know, it all fits together if you look at it biblically. Husbands, question for you. What's one thing that makes a happy marriage? One thing, husbands, that makes a happy marriage. How many times have you heard communication, communication, communication? Tell me what you're thinking, okay? So I can know, right? You know, communication with each other is so important. Even though God had confused these people's languages, the human thought process was not affected. Eventually, people began to learn the languages of other nations so that they could communicate with them, cooperate with them, or dominate them. And if you think about it, it was a pretty miraculous work of God to confuse the languages. The fact that we can communicate the way we do is such a significant fact. Unlike the animals, we are made in the image of God so we can communicate with God and He can communicate with us and we can communicate with others. God did not want to confuse the languages, but He had to. Because He wanted mankind to spread out over the whole earth, and they weren't doing it in obedience to Him, so He had to discipline them that. Do you know that God had set a time already when He would be able to communicate, when we would be able to communicate with Him and each other in His will and in through obedience to Him, even though there were different languages in the world? God had already established that. Now, if you look on the back of your bulletin, you're going to see a list of verses that's about that long. I'm only going to read you a couple. Okay? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Then God says, then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve Him shoulder to shoulder. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways so that we may walk in His paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Then Zechariah 14:9, 14:16 to 19, Isaiah 2:2, Revelation 21, 24 to 26. All of those verses point to that time when God will give us one spiritual language. And we've already seen a glimpse of that, what it would look like in its fulfillment. When do you think that was? The day of Pentecost. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. I'm going to start at verse 1 because it really helps us understand what's going on here. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? You see, on the day of Pentecost, God gave us a glimpse of what that one time will be when we are in heaven and we're all speaking the same language. We'll all understand. But that day in Babel, God judged the people for their disobedience. We can only imagine that as those people packed up their belongings and moved away, that the voices that they heard that weren't part of their family groups would have sounded like the babblings of a bunch of babies chattering away without understanding. Just making all these crazy noises, and they were like, I don't know what they're saying, but I'm out of here. I want to be with people I can understand. Later, those who remained in Babel tried to find a way to redeem their shame by redefining what Babel means. What does your Bible tell you Babel means in the footnote?
Yeah, I have Babylon.
You have Babylon? Okay. For confused. Yeah. God confused their languages. You know what those people in Babylon turned it into? They began to claim that it was Bab-el, put a dash between the B and the E-L, the gate of God, and not the confusion that erupted there. See, they tried to find a way around their shame. Paul writes in Philippians 3:19, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are on earthly things. You see, they tried to cover up their disobedience through fake news. Okay? That's not what it means. It means this instead. Oh, we are a wonderful city. This is what it means. But you know what we're to do? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. God says, be honest with one another. You messed up? Admit it. Give God the glory for showing you that. Don't make excuses for it. Don't justify it. You know, Babylon has ever since been a source of confusion for many. A confusion of religions made up to move people away from God. You know, as these families moved out from Babel, many brought their false religions with them to the new areas they populated. It seems that they were fully indoctrinated into these new false religions. Somebody who had to go into the military under the draft? Were you drafted into the military?
Were you drafted when you went to the military? Yes, he was.
Okay. You know, we have a military draft. When boys reach a certain age, did they change it to girls now too? I don't know. I don't know if they did or not. But when boys reach a certain age, they have to register with the government to say, hey, I'm 18, you know, I'm eligible for the draft now. People have wondered if Nimrod had a religious draft. If he required each family to give one person to be trained in this myriad of false religions and false beliefs so that they would pass it along to each of these family groups as they spread out. How many times have we heard of the shamans or shamans, the spiritual leaders in each tribe? You know, was that something that Nimrod started back then and caused to go forward? We don't know, but it's a good question to ask. Even so that happened, to some degree, all the nations held on to an awareness of the true God of heaven, even though he was less and less a part of their daily lives. It's kind of like a person who stops going to church because they've been hurt by someone. You see their lives, God becomes a little less of their life each day because no one's there to hold them accountable. No one's there to remind them what God wants from them. No one's there to encourage them about how God can work in their lives and help them through things. So they slip away from God a little more and more. Even so, that was happening with these. All these ancient nations, all of them had a flood narrative. Even though it may have been corrupted by their false idol beliefs. The Aborigines of Australia, they said their god, who was a kangaroo, put everybody in his pouch and hopped away from the danger. Okay? That's how some of this was distorted. This even spilled over to God's Redeemer promise to become various gods who would come and save them or at some point or had already done so. Hercules, half god, half human. Diana of the Amazons. Gee, what do we know her as today? Wonder Woman. Yeah, you know? And so on. They're out there. You just have to look to find them. How many movies have you watched where you can see there's a Christ figure comes to save everybody? Okay? Thor? Okay? They're there. And these are all things that have filtered down through, some for our entertainment, some to lead people astray. But for us who have come to a saving knowledge of God and His truth and a witness from Him by His Holy Spirit who lives in us to testify us, as Paul says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, we have the testimony of God in us. That we can look at these first 11 chapters of Genesis. In fact, turn to the front of your bulletin. We get in these first chapters of Genesis the account of creation by God in 6 24-hour days. The corruption of man as Adam and Eve fell into sin and rebellion against God and were judged for it. the catastrophe of the flood judgment, the confusion of the languages here at Babel, the promise of the Redeemer in Genesis 3:15, Jesus Christ and the cross where He would go to set us free from sin and death, and one day give us the hope of one day the consummation of God's final kingdom, where we would all be able to communicate with God and each other in the same spiritual language. God has given us these so that we could know the truth and not fall prey to the false religions that are out there and slip away from God. He has given us this in these first 11 chapters of Genesis. Without these chapters, we would not know why we need Jesus as our Lord and Savior, why He had to go to the cross for us, why we're looking forward to the consummation of creation again when it's all made anew for us to enjoy, like it was in the Garden of Eden. You know, Pentecost was a foreshadowing of the removal of the division of languages because there was a true spiritual unity amongst God's people there who were speaking in these different languages so that others could understand them and God be glorified in and through that. You know, we've taken a lot of time to study these first 11 chapters, but they are a basis for why the gospel needed to go forth, why the world went to hell in a handbasket so quickly, and why God wants to recreate it again or redeem it again through Christ. Those are the things that was my goal that we learned as we studied these chapters. And Lord willing, I hope we can take some of this away. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You for your grace and Your truths that You give us. We thank You, Father, that by knowing the beginning, we can understand what needed to happen in the middle and what's going to happen in the end. We thank You that You've given us these things so that we might grow in Your truths. We might understand the authority of Your Word over every area of our lives. And we might trust in it and rest in it. So guide us and direct us, Father, as we go from this place and go on to study other things in Your Word. We just pray that in all things we would remember that You are the God of creation, that You are our Redeemer, our guard and our guide through Jesus. And we just trust You for what You have for us and where You're taking us. And Father, we look forward to the day when we will join together again and speak the same spiritual language that we might glorify You and uplift one another. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.